They'll come back. I'll put a new ad in it. All right. Welcome to Hebrew Club. We are on verse 11 of chapter 8. The aftermath of rehearsal of David's victories. All right. So he's still talking about those things. In verse 10, remember he was talking just at the end of the verse, in connection with the other verses. Remember, talked about how he's accumulating wealth from different kings and different countries. All right. And verse 11 just simply picks up on verse 10 and talks about what David did with that stuff. So we'll start with verse 11 here. Gam otam hikdish hamelech David la'adonai im hakesef vehazahav asher hikdish mikol hagoyim asher kibesh. Also these, and he's referring to the vessels of gold and silver and bronze. Also these, the king, namely David, hikdished, set aside, hifil from kadash. I'm assuming that he means for the sanctuary, for the worship. He set these aside to Yahweh, see, notice, la Adonai. Im, along with hakesef, the silver and the gold which hikdish, he set aside from all the nations which kibesh, which he subdued or defeated. This is a PL from kavash. Usually the kavash, I don't know, occurs under 20 times. Usually it's either kal or nifal. And this is the only place where you have a PL. So it's rather interesting. And even the Masoretes make note that this is the only time that this occurs in the PL. All right. Verse 12 just continues. May Aram U Moav, U Mibne Amon, U Mipelishtim, U Me Amalek, U Mishlal Hadad Ezer Ben Rechov Melech Zova. Okay, these are place names. He's just talking about which nations, the Goyim in verse 11, from Aram and from Moab and from the Ammonites, notice the children of Ammon, and from the Philistines and from Amalek. And from the spoil of Hadad-Ezer, remember he was the big guy a few verses ago, son of Rehov, king of Zova. So those are all place names. All right. Verse 13. Vayas David shem beshuvo me hakoto et aram begay melach shemona asar aleph. And David made a name, okay, in his returning, or when he returned. This is a call infinitive concert from Shuv, okay, temporal. When he returned from Hakoto, from his smiting. All right, this is again a hifil from Naka, infinitive construct. And remember the third hey verbs have that oat ending. So David made a name, and notice it means a name for himself. All right, so David made a name for himself when he returned from his striking Aram. Hey, Joe. Begay Melech, in the Valley of Salt. All right. Shemona is 8. Asar is 10. So 8, 10, namely 18,000. So it's giving. So notice, David made a name in his returning from his smiting 18,000, okay, that belonged to Aram in the Valley of Salt. So when he smote Aram, that is 18,000 in the Gay Melach. Gay is just a word for valley. Valley of Salt. Okay. Any questions through 13? Again, we're just getting kind of a lot of data, place names and people names here. And we'll switch out from that in a little while here. Okay. Verse 14. Vayasem be'edom netzivim Bekol Edom Sam Netzivim Vayhi Kol Edom Avadim LeDavid Vayosha Yahweh Et David Bekol Asher Halak. And he placed in Edom Netzivim as garrisons. Okay, throughout all of Edom, Sam, he put Netzivim garrisons. All right, so notice he conquered the land, and now he's making sure there's a military presence there. Vayahi kol Edom. So all Edom became avadim. So all Edom became servants to David. Vayosha. And Yahweh, here's the word from Yasha, to save. But here it would be something like Yahweh helped David Bekol Asher Halak, wherever he went. We saw that line before earlier in the chapter. So, you know, just reminding us that Yahweh was with David wherever he was. All right, good. 15. Are any questions through 15? 14? All right, 15. Vayimlok David al kol Yisrael. Vayahi David osa mishpat utzedaka lekol ami. Here's interesting. So David reigned, vayimlok, over all Israel. Remember, these last three chapters have been talking about that. And David was doing, this is a participle from Asa, so Haya plus Asa, and David was doing Mishpat and Zedekah, justice and righteousness for all his people. So notice the ideals of the king, Mishpat, Zedekah, became manifest in the way David was ruling. And remember we see Psalm 72 echoing that in connection with Solomon, may he reign with Mishpat, Zedekah. All right. So here you see words that we usually take on the vertical plane between Yahweh and his people. May Yahweh give us tzedakah and mishpat, you know, and we think in terms of justification with those words as well. In the horizontal plane, the king showing mishpat tzedakah to the people. All right. So the two kind of notice come together in these words. So there's a lot of, you know, just a lot of theological implications, especially for us, about the shape of the Davidic kingdom, and of course, the promise versus the fulfillment of it. So here we see the promise that God made through the line of David already coming to pass in David's own reign, right, in the characteristic of his kingdom. And notice you should probably understand behind that is that he's talking also about especially about the marginalized in society. See, by doing mishpat and zedekah, he didn't show favoritism to the rich. He didn't take bribes. He didn't disenfranchise the people who are most vulnerable. See, so I think that that's should be an implication of this doing mishpat and zedekah, which is again goes against how most kingdoms were formed and the characteristic of most kingdoms. Okay. Here we get a bunch of other names in verse 16. Ve'yoav ben Zeruiah al-Hatzava. And Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was over the army. You know who Zeruiah was? This is kind of interesting. It was the sister of David. So, Joab, remember, was his nephew. This is a family affair. And obviously, Joab causes David a lot of trouble in subsequent chapters. Now you know why. Families stick together, you know, no matter what. So Joab's part of the dysfunctionality of everything. But remember, we've seen Joab before in this narrative, him and his brothers as well. Remember, one of the brothers was killed by Abner. And Joab had his revenge already. So we know Joab. So Joab, son of Zeruiah, was over the army. Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat, son of Ahilud, was the Mazkir. Notice that this is from Zakar. It's a hifil participle, and it's usually translated something like recorder. And I'm assuming what that means is he's the one that kept the annals of David's exploits and you know, stuff that was going on in the kingdom. He was the mazkir. All right. Vetzadok ben Achituv and Zadok son of Achituv and Achimelech son of Evyathar. Abiathar, in other words, were Kohanim, were the priests. All right? Seraiah was the sofer, was the scribe, or was the secretary. So, you know, probably the one that took care of the business affairs and the day-to-day affairs of the kingdom. So here you see kind of an outline of the administration of David's kingdom. So you kind of notice you see very horizontal level, first article, organizational stuff. Okay. Verse 18, Ubenayahu, okay, son of Yehoiada. And, okay, here we have a textual issue. And most translations, notice under Hakreti and Hapleti, the Kerethites and the Pelatites. See the A's around them? If you go to 18a, many manuscripts, notice it cites the Syriac and the Targums and the Vulgate, have, notice the preposition ve'al. So before what you see in the Masoretic text, it has ve'al before the Keratites and ve'al before the Pelatites. And so it's going to be translated as Binyaha, son of Jehoiada, was over both the Keratites and the Pelatites. In other words, these are two groups taken as two groups of people. Otherwise, see, the Masoretic text doesn't make sense. You can't translate it because it's just Ben-Yahu, son of Jehoiada, and the Keratites and the Pelatites. See, there's nothing there to tell you what the relationship is between those groups of people. So most English translations will go with what the other versions have here. So here you see text. And notice we've seen textual issues in 2 Samuel. It's not a neat text by any chance. Here's another little interesting thing. Uvene David Kohanim Hayu. And the sons of David were priests. Now, I looked at least, I think NASB, instead of translating it as priests, translates it as leading officials or something like that. But the word here is priests, so we can assume that they had priestly functions at least. And remember, the king also had functions of a priest. You know, remember, sometimes you see David offering sacrifices and offering prayer on behalf of the people. David very much interested in the worship life of the people, right? We all know that. And so here you kind of see that as well in the sons of the king. There were priestly functions. So the lines were a little overlapping between king and priest. It's kind of an interesting, again, has theological implications for us as well. Okay. Questions?
So the insertion, which is suggested by the textual criticism, is that suggesting that Ben-Yahu was ruler over those?
Yeah, people? That he was in charge of those two groups of people. Now, what that means, I don't know. What that entailed, who knows? But
it seems pretty basic because you can see, like, you know, kind of vaguely with David in several different areas, you know, of the stature of his ruling. Sometimes he's over, sometimes they actually say he's ruler.
Right. Yeah, see, it kind of makes some sense there. So, otherwise, it's kind of obscure. You don't know what the Masoretic text is doing. All right, let's go to verse 1 of chapter 9. Vayomer David. Haki yesh od asher notar levet Shaul ve'eseh imo chesed ba'avur Yehonatan. Then David said, here, now notice this next thing. This is kind of unusual. You get the interrogative hey plus the key, conjunction key. So this occurs only five times, this kind of combination. And it's always in kind of a situation in which there is an emotional tone to the question. So Esau, I think, when he's finding out that his blessing has been stolen, he asks this question, you know, an emotional question of his father. And Laban does the same thing with Jacob as well. So two times in Genesis. And then Job also. So there's some, you know, so whether that key has this focus of kind of emotion or strong desire on the part of David to know the answer or something like that may be indicated by the ha key. So then David said, surely there is, or, you know, notice, or is there, notice yesh, od, is there still someone who, asher, is left? This notar is a nifal from the first yud verb yatar, to be left. So it's a nifal perfect. So remember, the first yuds form the nifals and the hifils with that O. You get that O syllable. Okay? So is there still someone who is left to the house of Saul? Ve'eh says, so that I might, from Asa, so that I might do with him chesed, so that I might do kindness with him, ba'avur, on account of Yehonatan, on account of Jonathan. All right. Any questions about the grammar or meaning of any of the verses in, about any of the words in verse 1 there? Everybody see that, what's going on? So David is asking probably those people around him that he just mentioned, is there left of the house of Saul? Yeah, Will.
I just think it's interesting that David does kindness to Jonathan's son. I mean, Saul's descendants on account of Jonathan. Mm-hmm. It kind of parallels what Yahweh did for the kings of Judah. Mm-hmm. On account of David.
On account of David. No, that's good. Yeah, see, again, you notice within, I mean, it's another interesting thing that just occurred to me. Within five verses, you have David doing Mishpat, Tzedekah, Chesed. All right, and those words are hugely theologically freighted for us when we think about our relationship with Yahweh. And so here, kind of implicitly, you see David in his relationship with people and how he carried out his rule with these words showing us the shape of how he did his business. See? So again, it's really interesting, I think. Good. Verse 2. Ulevet Shaul Evad Ushemot Ziva Vayikra'u lo el David Vayomer Hamelek Elav Ha'at Ziva Vayomer Avdeka. Now to Saul there was a servant and his name was Ziva. Okay? And they called to him, or we would say they called him to David. And notice that this is an impersonal subject, this Vayikra'u. And so we'd probably translate it passively. And he was called to David, or summoned to David, Vayomer HaMelech, and the king said to him, Ha'ata, are you Ziva? Vayomer, and he said, Avdeka, your servant. Okay, we would probably say, I'm your servant. What else is he going to say? You know? Yeah. Questions through verse 2? Verse 3, Vayomer HaMelech. Notice David is called HaMelech here. And we've seen that more and more in this chapter. Ha-melech. It's really interesting. So, Vayomer ha-melech, ha-esef od ish levet Shaul ve-esel imo chesed Elohim, Vayomer tziva el ha-melech, od bain lihonatan neke raglaim. Then the king said, here again you have an interrogative hey, fs me is a negation, okay? And again you have od. So the king said, is there not, see how Ephes, is there not still a man belonging to the house of Saul, so that I might do with him the chesed of God, the kindness of God? And Ziva said to the king, still there is a son to Jehonatan, neke raglaim. Neke is an adjective. Remember, naka means to smite. And this is like the... notice it forms its construct much like Sadeh field, Sadeh Sadeh, so you have that Serehe. So it would be smitten of feet. Smitten in his feet. We would say he was lame. Okay? Verse 4. Vayomer lo hamelech, then the king said to him, Epho hu, where is he? That's Epho, where is he? Vayomer Ziva, then Ziva said El Hamelech to the king, Hine hu beit Makir ben Amiel below Devar. Ziva said to the king, look, he is in the house of Makir, the son of Amiel, in Lo Devar. Okay, so again, look, he is in the house of Makir, who is the son of Amiel, and they live in Lo Devar. Okay, verse 5. Vayishlach HaMelech David Vayikachehu Mibet Makir Ben Amiel Milo Devar. Okay, so then the king David sent and took him, this is from Lakach again, from the house of Makir, the son of Amiel, from Lo Devar. Okay, a lot of repetition as we're used to. Verse 6. Vayavo Mephibosheth Mel Ben Yehonatan Ben Shaul El David. Then Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David. Okay? Notice his name, Mephibosheth, is other places called Meribbaal. And some suggest that his name, you know, this was a change in name to throw light on his character already, what's going to happen to him. So Bochet means shame, remember? All right. So Mephibosheth came to Jonathan, to Saul, son of Saul, to David. Okay. And he fell on his face, Vayipol al panah, from Nafal. Vayishtachu, what's the root? Chava. It's a hishtafel, the only hishtafel from Chava. And it's a third masculine singular. And he bowed down. So he fell on his face and he did reverence, worship. Vayomer, then David said, Mephibosheth. And he said, Hine Abdika. Behold your servant. Okay. Questions through verse 6? Okay, a couple more here. Verse 7. Vayomer lo David al tira'u ki aso se imeka chesed ba'avur Yehonatan avika. Vahashiboti laka et kol sede sha'ul avika va'ata tokal lechem al shulchano tamid. And David said to him, Al tira, do not fear. For I certainly will do. Notice, aso is just an infinitive absolute. I certainly will do with you chesed, kindness, on account of Jonathan, your father. Vahashivoti, there's that great Japanese form from shuv, I will return, it's a hifil, I will return to you et kol sede sha'u. I will return to you all the property of Saul, your father. So notice sede is in construct, looks just like neke. See how that's formed? I will return to you the entire field of Saul, your father. And and as for you, Atta, you shall eat bread, or food, at Shulchani, my table, Tamid, continually. All right? Good, we'll stop here. We got pretty far today. And we will finish this chapter and hopefully get into chapter 10 next time. Any questions?
What do you call that Japanese form?
Because it's like hakimoti or hashivoti. Sounds Japanese. It sounds Japanese.
Okay, so just
my instructor said these are Japanese forms.
Okay.
The hollow verb forms. Got a bigger laugh in Hebrew class, trust me, Will. All right, you guys. Have a good one.
Take care. I'm
trying to make sense
between Japanese grammar.
Yeah.
Too deep.